your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast, number 77, for those of you keeping track out there. Alongside Chris Level, I am Choice Woodman. Thanks to our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction for sponsoring this podcast.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Level, looks like you're all there. You survived the eclipse or apocalypse, or you know, everybody going crazy this week. So that's
were you really into that?
Really into it? No, I had a pair of glasses left over from the last one, so
which was just I know these are different, but we had just one in like October. Yeah.
Yes, because I remember getting those. It was the day of one of the Tech football games.
It was a Saturday. Yeah. It was around because it happened around 12 or 1 or whatever. I remember, and I was like, man, I gotta hurry up and eat lunch, because I was eating lunch with my wife and daughter, and I was like, I gotta hurry up and get back so I can get to the stadium and all that stuff. So
yeah, I think
was it maybe a basketball game?
I think it was football.
Football. Okay. All right.
Well, I remember. Yeah, I remember being outside the stadiums when I was watching. So
okay.
Must have been. Yeah. So if it would have been like the total eclipse, if we were in one of those zones, I probably would have been a little
of the
more
heart.
Into it.
Shout out to Bonnie Tyler.
Of course. Boom.
I know everybody's got the same joke, same song. Yeah. All that.
Have you heard it today? Because I've definitely heard of that at least twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard it several times. I've heard, let's see, Dancing in the Dark. I'm trying to remember the other songs that everybody was like, thought would be cute.
I think
it's like eclipse humor is like, I don't know, but whatever. We wasted a lot of time on this.
Yeah, the people who won the eclipse the best was the Texas Rangers social media. If you haven't seen it, it was pretty good. So go hunt that down if you're a Rangers fan.
El Bombi,
yeah, El Bombi.
Yeah, you're biased there.
I'm very biased.
Yeah, you're biased.
Sorry, world champion Texas Rangers. Gotta throw that in front. So Level, we're in the period after basketball, spring football. We'll get into a little bit of both here, but let's start with that big news. Last week at this point when you're listening to this, but Coach McGuire makes a statement that Baron Morton was going to be shut down for the rest of spring football. And regardless of whether it's a big deal or not, it's a big deal because of who it is. And it gets a lot of attention. Coach McGuire did say, I believe, that if there was a game that particular day, he was talking to the media, that Baron Morton would have played, but they're taking it, seemingly cautious with a young arm.
Yeah, it's not like you just curl up in the fetal position and panic or anything, and worry and all that. But I think you would be naive to think that this is in any way good news. I think there's reason to worry. There's reason to. Because I guess, because here's the fair questions to ask aloud are, well, isn't he coming off of about 2 to 3 months of just rest? Largely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what rest in his world looks like. I mean, is he still lifting? Is he still throwing at all? Is he totally shut down? I mean, what does that entail? And then if we start doing the math, it's like, okay, basically the first of April. So April, May, June, that's three. So what, are we good to go in July? Is he going to have to go see somebody? You know, so anyway, it's just not, it's not ideal news, because if everything was fine, he'd just continue to practice. like every other starting quarterback in the country would do. There would be no precautionary, hey, we're just going to shut him down, try to get these other guys some reps. That's not what you do.
Right.
Because the thing is, Barron hasn't had just a ton of reps since he's been on campus here. You know, he had a high ankle 2 years ago. He missed a lot of time in between games and just in general, you know, whenever he played 2 years ago. Then obviously this past year, he wasn't practicing at all. I think Tyler Shuck in the previous two springs has gotten over half the reps, you know, as far as first team and all that stuff. It's not like Barron doesn't have any reps in the system at all. It's just he's a guy with multiple years to play here that just is not somebody that's just got all kinds of experience and practice and all those things. So, and then here's the caveat with that. The real problem is that he's got a whole new group up front, and he's got a lot of new bells and whistles that he's going to be throwing to and all that, that you need to work on timing and chemistry with that you won't be afforded. So, it's a bit interesting there. It's a bit tricky.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you don't want it. You would love in a rosy world for everybody to go through spring ball, stay healthy, get that synergy that you're talking about of working with each other, especially with all these new pieces. But with a quarterback that's had the injury issues in the past, and, you know, it felt like last year we went through a stretch of just, we didn't know which Barron Morton, we were getting every Saturday when he was on the field. Is it the one that's feeling good or the one that's, you know, labored a little bit? But, I guess my naivete from last year is just that I thought, okay, if you get through this, you get to spring, you're going to have time for him to rest. It just kind of all goes away. You get him at 100% by spring ball. And I think that's where my concern, like a lot of other Tech fans, is like, are you going to go through this? If he is healthy enough to play in the fall, are you going to go through the same thing you went through last year where it's just, okay, is Barron feeling good this week or not?
My concern is that you use the word naivete. I mean,
I knew that was coming. I could tell off.
I love it. I absolutely am not concerned at all. Like tip of the cap to you there, Coach Woodman. I love it. With what we know now, this is not how it works.
Yeah.
With what we know now, I wonder if, and this, again, this would have been a tough decision to make as well. But with what they know now, I wonder if they would have said, you know what? No spring for Barron Morton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have just said, let's kind of take a bit of a hit here. Let's give him the full, you know, allotment of rest to ensure there are no issues, you know, and we're going to take the bullet on, okay, yes, he could certainly use these reps and timing and chemistry with these guys, you know, but because I think now you look back on it and go, man, who knows, but I wonder if that's what if that's what they would do if they could do it over again. But who knows? Life doesn't work that way. There's a lot of things that probably I like to say, hey, no regrets, man. No regrets in life. I don't have any, right? Everything has molded me to who I am and shaped me to who I am and all the stuff. But I'm sure there's some things I'd probably like to do over again.
If everybody got to be mulligan golfers where you get a second shot every time, we'd all be better golfers than we are. So it's kind of in that category.
Yeah. My kid is into, he's doing golf now, high school golf and stuff. And
how's that going?
We just picked it up a year ago, but he played with a family member recently who doesn't really play golf and fancies themselves as decent. And so, and my kid is really trying to follow the rules and being structured and, like, you know, that's the way he's been coached and all that stuff. So, you know, the penalties and, you know, drops and all those things. And, like, you know, and so they played on, I guess it was on Easter Sunday that afternoon. And it was like, yeah, insert name here, he hit like three or four in the water and then finally hit one in the fairway. And then we get to the green and he kind of putted out. And he's like, yeah, just give me a bogey. Like, he's like, no, that you I mean, you'd probably be at like 15, you know, like if you were
truthfully, you're not gonna out said family member.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I just thought it was funny because it's like, you know, yeah, it's like you mentioned the word mulligan, and it's but hey, just give me a bogey, man.
Just give me a bogey.
I finally got one to work, and then I played that deal, but don't count those other,
of course. You know. Course,
you,
yeah.
You step up and address the ball and like swing and miss or duff it or whatever. No, that,
oh yeah, man,
you're on the clock, buddy. I wish that wasn't a bit of a storyline with Baron. Because I would ask you this question, and I think it's a fair question to ask aloud. I know what I would have said before spring started, but now I may change my answer or tweak it a bit. The storyline with this team really to me was gonna be offensive line was like 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
What does it look like? How good are you? Has it progressed? Now you have a new position coach there and Clay McGuire. That's just the big concern, the big question mark. It has been for the last 3 to 7 years. And until it gets fixed, you know, there's a reason you're bringing in, you know, 4 transfers at that one position and all that stuff. But is Baron's shoulder now more of a question mark on this team than the offensive line is? I don't know. But I think it's as you go into the offseason, those are fair questions to ask about what worries you more, if you're into worrying or whatever, mm-hmm. or if you're, I don't know, you know, I think until you just know 1,000%, hey man, no issues, he's good to go, I think you have reason to be a bit concerned there.
Speaking of questions, this was a question that was asked on the radio earlier this week, and I'm like, that'd be a good one for Level. So I'm stealing it from there. But yep. The question Level is, if you could know the answer to one question, not results-based, for Texas Tech football, so whether that's, you know, Morton health, whatever it is, if you could know the answer to one question for Tech football in the fall this year, what would you want to know the answer to?
Okay, so you're just basically, you know, and you're saying the answer could be somewhat bad.
Could be bad. Yeah,
it could just, be, but you at least know. Is that what
you're just
saying?
Want to know?
Like I'm skipped to the yeah. Well, I'm going to go back to the offensive line, and here's why.
Okay.
I would love if you could skip to the end and ultimately know this is going to be the best version of what they are. Here's who goes where and all those things. Let me know what that is. And then if I knew that, I would alter my whole rest of practice time in the summer trying to be really good at the play calling and the plays that I think would benefit me knowing that, because I think last year it was a bit of an interesting start to the season, because I think that you were kind of morphing and changing who you were in the first 3 to 5 weeks of the season before you kind of were like, you know what, let's just keep handing it to Brooks, man, you know, and your receivers were struggling and all that. But if I knew what kind of offensive line that I was going to ultimately have, like, here's the best version of what they're going to be, and this is what I'm going to work with, I would love to know that, because then I think I could really cater my offense around it, toward it, and all those things. Whereas I don't know if any other position on the team would necessarily like help you with a whole bunch of extra practice time and schematic advantages. You know, I think so. I would answer it in that way.
So how do you think the offensive line has meshed or is meshing so far this spring? Because you got a lot of new faces there, obviously, and you know, you talked about it before, but you got a new offensive line coach. You've got your returner there with Caleb Rogers that was supposed to move to center. Is that going to happen or not? What's the story from the offensive line so far this spring?
Yeah, I think that's where this is a fascinating position. One, just because it was going to be a huge question anyways. Mm-hmm. And two, it's like, yeah, you changed up the leadership there, what, 2 months ago? Mm-hmm. And so all the preconceived ideas and notions about, yeah, let's move him here. Let's look at this guy here. Let's recruit this kind of guy. Let's do whatever. I mean, all that gets changed when a new position coach comes in.
Right.
And they may have a completely different, fresh set on, well, why don't we block it up this way? And if we do that, why don't he's probably better here and him here. I mean, it's like the possibilities are endless, which that's the problem is you only have so much time. And so I think Clay McGuire is going to be, a benefit to Zach Kittley because he's worked with, like, you know, your Lincoln Rileys, your Mike Leaches, your Cliff Kingsbury's, your Jake Spavitals. Who's the guy at Washington State now? I actually think he spent some time for West Texas A&M. Ben Arbuckle.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to be a hot name, I think, at some point. So Clay has worked for a variety of different minds, and yep. I think, and he's coached a variety of different positions. So I think that ability to see the total picture really kind of could help Zach Kittley. And yep. I think it kind of helps you put together your offensive line because I've coached tight end. I know what I'm going to ask those guys to do, and this is why this guy would be better at right tackle or left tackle with a tight end next to him or whatever.
Sure.
And I've coached running backs, so I know, you know, all that stuff. But I just think I think that offensive line is going to be really fascinating, but I do think they're kind of paring it down. Like, you kind of have a group of 8 to 10 names that you kind of hear more about. And there's the quote-unquote younger group, which is going to be Nick Fadig and Jacob Ponton and Caden Carr and on mm-hmm. and on it goes. But I think you're looking at some of your incumbents and some of your transfers and all those things. And then you had a guy like Caleb Rodkey and Dalton Merriman. I think that they were both dinged up a bit late in the season and kind of just now cleared and or semi still dinged up. And so you've got some pieces like that you're trying to work back into the mix as well. But, oh, fascinating position. I don't know, to answer your question too, and I'll wrap up my answer on this, but I'm not sure what happens with Caleb Rogers, actually. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think that they had intentions of putting him at center.
Yeah.
I think the NFL views him as somebody that's an interior offensive lineman.
Okay.
Guard or center. And I don't know if they're sold on him at center just yet. But again, it's early to mid April here.
Right.
You know, you've got a long way to go. So we'll just kind of see what this ultimately looks like, but I don't know if he is in line to start at center or play center even, and if he's not, which guard spot is it? And are we totally sure he's not going to get kicked out to tackle? Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, because somebody's going to get kind of squeezed here with who they brought in, and
right.
Kind of fascinating. Yeah.
Yep. So one question, this one from Jason says, Level, what are or who are the biggest standouts so far in the spring? It's kind of a broad
question.
Well,
yeah, that's tricky. It's funny because if you listen to every one of these assistant coaches that's interviewed, they hate those questions.
Yeah, they do.
It's like who are you talking about? You know, like who are the, what's your definition of the young guys? Or, you know, they don't like singling anybody out because they're sure. Trying to develop their whole position room and the group and all that. But look, you hear good things about Josh Kelly, certainly. I think you hear some good things about Giancarlos Miller.
Miller, yeah.
You hear good things about Davion Carter, mm-hmm. Vinny Scurry. You hear good things about Mo Horn. I think you hear good things about your young bucks, the Jordan Sanfords, Brendan Jordan, and all that. You hear... Yeah. You know, I think Jack Burgess, your new punter, I think is acclimated fairly quickly. But This is tricky to narrow it down because it may depend on what day you're asking about. It may depend on, specific positions and all those things. Not to cop out on the answer, but yeah, that's all I'll offer up, I guess I should say.
I think that's fair. Anything else to add on spring football before we move to basketball questions?
I don't guess so.
Yeah. So the first basketball, first off, we're in a period of craziness with coaching carousel and transfer portal all going on at the same time. What's been the most shocking thing of the coaching carousel to you so far?
Well, I mean, Calipari to Arkansas.
Yeah, I figured.
Would certainly be, that's basically, to me, Jimbo Fisher going to A&M is the best equivalent I can give you there. I mean, and it's, what's funny is that who knows where this domino, domino effect stops.
Yeah.
But you know what that was all started by? SMU looking at Rob Lanier.
Oh, yeah.
20 win season, excuse me, and saying not good enough. We're gonna move on, man.
It's crazy.
Coach Lanier, appreciate it. And then it started this carousel, and I don't know where it ultimately stops.
Because SMU gets infield from USC, and then Musselman goes from Arkansas to USC. Yeah, it is crazy that one domino. I mean, can affect
the newest ACC school.
yeah, it's nuts,
and one that's not even getting any money to be in the league, and they kind of caused a chaos.
Yeah, it's crazy that's how it happened, but and we don't know where it stops, like you said. But the time we're recording this, Kentucky doesn't have a coach, but that could be a Big 12 guy that ends up at Kentucky. We don't know. I mean, the Scott Drew's name's been mentioned a lot. And then what happens with the Baylor job if that ended up happening? So it just continues to it's crazy to see what happens with the carousel. All the while, these guys that are having their names mentioned with jobs are sitting there trying to get guys in the transfer portal as well to say, hey, come to my school. We want you at my school. The portal timing of all this, does that ever get changed? Because it's nuts that you've got the portal open for 2 or 3 weeks during March Madness, and these coaches continue to try to coach through that.
Yeah, I think they could maybe alter that a week or three somewhere, and this is kind of the weird sweet spot. But bottom line, you can never, as much as they would try to narrow down these windows and fix the calendar and all that, you can't ever foresee some of these things happening and like totally hit the, be perfect with it. And it just doesn't, because schools can't be worried about a calendar. Schools can't be worried about it's like, I saw people suggesting, if they were to announce Calipari on the day of the national championship, as an example, that is wildly disrespectful. That's not Arkansas's job.
Yeah.
It's like, people should worry about their own job. Do your job. That media member, he broke a story about something, and so I'm going to go complain to the, why do they get to break it? Hey, it's not my job to like make sure every media member is pleased and all those things. I mean, it's not my job to worry about, when a story comes out. That's not, we can't control that. So you can't really, if you're trying to control, we'd like to put everything in this nice, neat box with portal entries and all these things. It's just, and coaching hirings and firings and all that. It's just a bit tricky. So could they help everybody involved a little bit, by a week or two? Sure. But, even then, there's going to be things that happen outside the window there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question. So one of our other questions, this one comes from Mark, says, Level, do we have, when will we start seeing the roster additions from the portal for Texas Tech? And is there any big names that they're in on right now?
Well, your problem right now is that you're in a bit of a dead period. I don't think you're allowed to have any visits and all these things until, you know, you and I are talking early in the week, and this dead period goes on until late in the week.
Mm-hmm.
Once that is up, because it's been really, I think it's the Thursday before the Final Four, and then it ends the Friday after the title game. So it's an 8-day window, and I don't know exact times on times of the day. Like, is it, you know, opens sure. up at, you know, whatever. But large in part, you get the idea that this is kind of a quiet period. But once that opens up, I think that, yeah, you can start to see quite a bit of movement. I don't have any specifics on players that they're interested in, but I think that you could start to see some of the criteria that Grant is – you know, length and size, yes. I think he likes the, I think I don't know if I want to say the right word is prefers the group of five type guy, you know, yeah. like the Nevada, the Grand Canyon type.
Yeah.
You saw a kid from Wyoming come in here and visit. And I think that there's some interest there, certainly originally from San Antonio.
Yep.
I think you can kind of, but they need a couple of bigs and a couple of guards at the minimum right now. That are not just let's fill out a roster with these dudes like that can play.
Yeah. Well, this question from Carlos asks, or it says, I saw that where, or I read where Pop Isaacs was maybe asked to leave. Is there any truth to that?
I don't believe that to be true at all. No, I think that there was a difference of opinion on how he would be utilized from a basketball standpoint. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think that, and it's not hard to connect some dots when you look at what Pop's dad, who I've talked to a lot, he calls me Todd, just talking hoops during the season and just to shoot the bull and, you know, check on him with his cancer stuff. But, you know, he would say things on social media about, you know, point guard and this and that. And, you know, he would just be dropping these little Easter egg crumbs that I say that that's probably an Easter egg is not a crumb. It just needs to be one or the other. I didn't need to use both terms, just Easter eggs.
The Reese's egg makes crumbs.
Or crumbs, yeah. Not Easter egg crumbs. I think that's an Easter egg wouldn't make crumbs. Sorry. But he would drop some thoughts there about, and you could just kind of tell that, you know, and I'm not, my opinion, okay? I don't think Pop is a point guard. I think he's a combo guard. I think he's somebody that is good off the ball and he's good on the ball. I don't know if he would be, you know, exceptional if he was strictly one or the other. I think that's the beauty of his game is that he can do a little of both, and it's kind of it's mixed in and blended together a little bit. So that's what I would say. Do I think he was run off? Absolutely not. I don't think he was. Mm-hmm. No. And this had nothing to do me. My opinion had nothing to do with NIL. It had nothing to do with the legal stuff that, you know, everybody is kind of connected, trying to connect dots on. I think this was just a very much of a basketball decision, and I think it was amicable on both sides of it. I think each side wished the other well, and I'll be careful about saying this because I was right when I said this about Devin because he ended up circling back. I guess I would say I wouldn't just talk in 100% absolutes that he would not be back. I don't think he's going to be back. I think he'll end up playing elsewhere.
Yeah,
but would I just be floored and stunned and shocked if it's like a month from now? It's like, man, I really want to figure this out. You know, yeah. I'd like to be back. Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned or floored. I guess no.
What about Robert Jennings? Do you think he is, or any of the other guys that have put their names in the portal?
I think that those guys. I think everybody other than Pop is seeking more playing time that I'm not sure can be offered up here.
Okay.
And so I think that that's a decision that they have to ultimately decide on what they want out of their basketball career.
Yeah.
Am I willing to stay here and try to work hard and try to prove them wrong and try to squeeze a little more, you know, some more minutes out of this deal?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to go seek more a starting role, a primary rotation role somewhere else? You know, that's what that's to me, like, and that fits the bill for Jennings and Lamar, DeMarion, Lindsey, certainly Steffi. I'm trying to think of who else would be missing there. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
I think more playing time would be what fueled that, in my opinion.
It makes sense. So, Level, I think we covered about all of it for this week. I guess next week we'll have another spring football. We're closing down on spring football, about 2 weeks left, and then maybe know some more portal news by that time. It just kind of leaks through here in the spring.
Yeah, and you've got so you're just coming off of Tim Tadlock sweeping another series. They're 8-7, and
yeah,
I think have more overall wins than anybody in the Big 12.
True.
I think they're still, like, I don't know, what is it, like fifth or sixth or seventh or somewhere in the Big 12 standings. WrestleMania is behind us.
Did you get the results you wanted?
The basketball situations are behind us.
Yeah.
The Masters is upcoming, and then you've Masters week is here. Nice. And you've got the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks as well. So, yeah.
A lot going on. Our guy Aberg, or Aubert, whichever you like to call him, he gets his first Masters start, so that should be fun to watch that from a Texas.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if you're somebody in the audience and end up getting to go, make sure you go get you an egg salad sandwich, take you about $5 in the concession stand. You'll be able to eat like a king. It is glorious. TV does that place no justice.
And TV does say. I mean, TV makes it look amazing. Too,
I agree. You can't appreciate the greens and just the other stuff without seeing it with these, eclipsed sore eyes here.
Yeah. Number one bucket list item for me right there.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Yep. So, Level, appreciate the time as usual. We'll do it again next week.
Keep hope alive. Thank you to Cantex Roofing for being a part of this one. Wouldn't appreciate you helping facilitate all these. Enjoy them, and talk to you next time, people. Keep the questions coming. Love it. It's fun.
That's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the Ask Level Podcast, brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Level Podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.